the design. It was, he realized, deliberately unfashionable and very deliberately interesting. Her face, if left to itself, would have been round and eager, but the austerities of the Slade school had superimposed upon it a careful expression of detachment. "Well, Miss Lee," Alain began in his best official manner, "I just want to have an idea of your movements during the weekend. You left Tatler's End House on Friday afternoon by the 3 o'clock bus with Mr. O'Mara and Mr. Watt Hatchett?"
"Yes," agreed Miss Lee, looking self-conscious and maidenly.
She had stayed with an aunt in the Fulham Road, and had spent most of her time in this aunt's company. She had also seen a great deal of Watt Hatchett, and had gone to a picture with him on Saturday night. "Now then, Miss Lee, about the scrap of conversation you overheard, did you get the impression that Sonia and Garcia planned to meet on Friday night?"
"It sounded like that. Sonia said, 'if it's possible.' I think she meant to come back and bed down with Garcia for the night while no one was here."
"What did they do when you appeared?"
"Garcia just stared at me. I said, 'Hello, you two, what are you up to? Having a woo or something?' And he said, 'No, just a little chat.' He turned away and began working at his thing. Sonia just walked out. She looked ghastly. Mr. Alain, honestly, absolutely bleached. Oh, Mr. Alain, I do believe he did it. I do, actually."
"Were you on good terms with this model?"
"Well, I'm not one to look down my nose at a girl because she's a model. I'm a communist, anyway. Sonia was furious about Seacliff. She called her awful names, all beginning with B, you know. She said somebody ought to tell Pilgrim what Seacliff really was like. But I don't believe it was true about Pilgrim. I don't think he was ever attracted to Sonia. I think she just made it up."
"Made what up, Miss Lee? Did she suggest there had been anything like a romance between herself and Mr. Pilgrim?"
"Well, she said, I mean, it was only once, ages ago, after a party. She said she could tell Seacliff a thing or two about him, and if he didn't look out, she would."
"I see. You returned in the bus yesterday evening with the model, didn't you? Did you notice anything out of the way about her?"
"No. She was doing a bit of a woo with Omar. Of course, she wasn't very well. I'm sure that's why she did that terrible thing to Troy's portrait of Seacliff. She was ill, only she asked me not to say anything about it because she said it didn't do a model any good for her to get a reputation for not being able to stand up to the work. I wouldn't have known except that I found her one morning looking absolutely green, and I asked her if anything was the matter. She said the pose made her feel sick. It was the twist that did it, she said. She was honestly sick, and she felt sort of giddy."
Alain looked at Miss Lee's rather pretty, rather commonplace face and realized that her sophistication was more synthetic than even he had supposed. "Well, Miss Lee, I think that's all we need to worry about for the moment. When you go back to the dining room, will you ask Mr. Hatchett to come and see me?"
"Yes, I will."
She got up and gazed at Alain. He saw a sort of corpse-eyed expression come into her face.
"Oh, Mr. Alain," she said. "Isn't it all awful?"
"Quite frightful," responded Alain cheerfully. "Good evening, Miss Lee." She walked away with an air of bereavement and shut the door softly behind her.
"Oi," said Nigel from the armchair. "I'm moving over to the fire till the next one comes along. It's cold in this corner."
"All right." Fox, who had remained silently at the writing desk throughout the interview with Miss Lee, joined Alain and Nigel at the fire.
"Of course the girl was going to have a child," said Nigel complacently.
"Doesn't follow as the night the day," murmured Alain. "She may have been liverish or run down. Nevertheless, it's odd that the little thought never entered Miss Lee's head. You go back to your corner, Bathgate. Here's Mr. Watt Hatchett." Watt Hatchett came in with his hands thrust into his trouser pockets. He was short, with the general appearance of a bad man in a South American movie. His hair resembled a patent leather cap. His skin was swarthy. He walked with a sort of hard-boiled slouch.
"Want me, Inspector?" he inquired.
"Sit down, Mr. Hatchett," said Alain. "I shan't keep you long. I'm sure you realize the importance of the information we have from you as regards the drape. You will therefore not think it extraordinary if I ask you to repeat the gist of this information." Hatchett went over the whole story again. He remembered now that it was 2:30 by the hall clock when he went down to the studio on Friday afternoon and noticed the drape lying crumpled on the throne.
"And yesterday evening it was stretched out tight.
Alain asked Hatchett to account for his own movements during the weekend and gleaned enough material to enable him to verify the youth.